Chronicles. United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies. That's so it goes.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
That's so it goes. Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the No Sour, Ha Ha, Fun Time, Power Hour.
Woo!
The 1 o'clock hour where we lighten things up a little bit, have some fun, maybe drink some beer. And so later, actually, get your opinions ready, because at 1:30, what do you do when you go to a group dinner? Do you split the bill evenly no matter what people ordered because you all chose to be there, you partook in the environment and the atmosphere, or do you get the pen out and do the math and everyone has to pay fairly and blah, blah, blah. We're going to have that debate at 1:30. Would love to hear from you as far as what your group of friends do in that scenario.
How do you handle it?
But for now, I'm so excited for our next guest. So being that Milwaukee's nickname is Brew City, it's hard to imagine anyone really coming up with being the first brewery of any sort in Milwaukee anymore. But our guest today is one of the people behind Wisconsin's, not only Milwaukee's, but Wisconsin's first and only co-op brewery, New Barons Brewing Cooperative. CEO of New Barons Brewing Cooperative, Heidi Dalibor. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to get to, because I know there's a lot of fun things happening for Women's History Month. So we're going to get to that.
Yes.
But I guess for people who are wondering, what does a co-op brewery mean? What does a co-op brewery mean?
Sure. So essentially, if you break it down really simply, we are consumer-owned and operated and controlled. So when you get a membership, along with that membership, you get a share of the company, and then you get invited to get a little bit more involved than you would be with a typical mug club, per se. So you can run for a board of directors. We currently have 9 board of directors. We do beer education. You can do events. You can come for the social aspect. And then, of course, you get a ton of new perks. It's a particularly exciting time for our membership because we just revamped our perks.
Ooh.
And so we did a little bit of an upgrade, and now every time a member owner comes, every single day they come to the tap room, they get a free beer every single time. So that's one of the more fun perks of it. But essentially, it's just a way to get hyper involved. It's a way for us to interact with the community in a more intimate way. It's a way for us to build up the community around us in a more meaningful way. And so that's what a cooperative does.
And so why was it when you were first, because it was 2019? When did you guys start?
So we actually were established in 2016.
Okay.
And then after that, we started brewing on contract. So we didn't have our own brick and mortar. We were doing contract brewing. So we would go on site and brew our beer and then do our own sales and distribution for a few years. And then when we did our raise of investment, we got our own brick and mortar, tap room opened in 2020.
There you go. That's where I had that.
And where is your place, Heidi?
We're in First and Beach. It's a big red building across from, there's like a new development across the street, Bridgewater Restaurants across the street. It's a great little spot. There's actually 3 breweries and a distillery all in our building, along with, I think, like 300 plus other businesses.
It is a really, and you know what is over there is the place where you can go smash stuff. What's that place called? As far as like you can go in and just like get your anger out and take a sledgehammer to stuff. And so it's a really cool little spot as far as all the different small businesses that are in there. It's also next to the Michaels Corporation big building that we all have to drive next for forever. I never thought about that building, and then he had to run for governor, and now you always see it.
But now that you point out where that building is, I know exactly.
The condo building is up across from us, so we don't have to see it every day.
There you go. So I guess because I want to get into the events, because not only are there a lot of really cool events specific to Women's History Month this month, but you guys are constantly doing really big, like cool, fun events. And I think what I appreciate about you, your co-founder, New Barons, is the fact that it is so community oriented. And so was that kind of the driving reason behind choosing to be a co-op versus kind of more traditional profit seeking
business? It was. I really have to give my business partner the credit for it. So John DeGroote, he's my business partner. He's also our head brewer and co-CEO. He grew up in St. Louis, and where he grew up, it was very much that we
do. Heidi, I'm going to ask you to turn your camera off because you're
sticking.
Your sound sounds a little sticky.
Turn what?
So I think your internet's a little slow. So turn your camera off just so we can hear you better, because that might help with the internet connection. And then answer that question again.
Okay. So I'm not sure what you heard of from last.
Just start from the, he's from St. Louis.
Yep, he's from St. Louis, and he was very much a part of a community that was about helping your neighbor and kind of really acting as a full community to get things done. And so when he thought about how to bring that into the brewery aspect of it and how to get people to care about it, his solution was, well, I make them a part of it. So there were a founding group of us, and we all had a very specific role and kind of helped piece together the missing parts of a fully formed brewery outside of already having the beer.
Got it. Great. Well, yeah. So then with that, I want to make sure that we have enough time. What are some of the events that you all are involved with for Women's History Month?
Yep. So we already had the kickoff event that was at Izzy Hops. It was wildly successful. The next one we have is actually tomorrow. We've got something going on at Station 6. They're doing a fundraiser. The majority of these fundraisers, the way that they're operating, or I should say events, is when you go and buy a beer and whatever brewery is being represented at that particular event, $1 of every pint bought will go to the Sojourner Truth House. So they're an organization that's great. It's a nonprofit in Milwaukee, and they provide domestic violence prevention and intervention services. So for the entire month, all these events that are being thrown, all of the donations and proceeds will be going to them.
Our guest is the co-founder and CEO of New Barons Brewing Cooperative. Heidi Dalibor is joining us today on As Goes Wisconsin, and we're talking about all the things they have going on for Women's History Month.
And so you said there one's tomorrow at Station 6?
Yep, Station 6 from 5 to 8. They were going to have every single brewery that's represented. So that includes ourselves, Revolution Brewing, Indeed Brewing, Surly, Great Lakes, Eagle Park, Three Sheeps, New Belgium, and Bell's. All the breweries will be represented. They're going to be doing raffles. They'll have a food special. There are events later in this week as well. So on Thursday, MK Burger in Franklin is doing a fundraiser. Sugar Maple and St. Bibiana are both doing events on Sunday. That includes a brunch at St. Bibiana and a dance party at Sugar Maple.
A dance party at Sugar Maple. That sounds fun.
Yeah, the one at Sugar Maple, that's another one where all the breweries are involved. Overall, throughout the month, I believe there's close to 25 events going on.
Wow.
That is wild.
Yeah, it's great. A lot of the places are able to accommodate all the beers on tap. Some are held by specific breweries. New Barons ourselves, we're going to host an event in our tap room that will have our beer will be donating a portion of the proceeds to it. I'm running it's like a woman networking night, but an informal one. So you don't have to be a woman and you don't have to be a business owner, but that is kind of the highlight of the evening. We'll be donating some money, and we're going to get some of the raddest women in Milwaukee all in the same room together, which I'm really looking forward to.
And that's, is that the Women's Month Ladies Night on March 23rd?
It is, yes. And that'll be at our tap room in Bayview.
And so tell us a little about the special beer release that's happening.
Yeah, so there's a couple. I heard you mention earlier on the show the Like a Girl beer. Mm-hmm. So that was a collaboration between Third Space and the Pink Boot Society, which is a woman-run organization that highlights women in beer. And we went on site. A group of us went to that brew day. Third Space has some great women in their production. Shout out to Amy and Sam that worked with us, among some of their other employees, to brew that beer. New Barons ourselves, we're doing a beer called Loud as Hellas. It's a Hellas lager. I know Eagle Park's also doing some beer, Three Sheeps, I believe, doing some special releases throughout the month for it.
I just love how it seems like you all get along so well.
I know.
And support each other. I just really think that's lovely.
Yeah, it's great to get us all together. You know, it's not incredibly rare to see women in beer anymore, but it isn't something that you, there's not a lot of us out there. Obviously, we are dominated and we all share similar experiences. And it's really great to get together and be able to celebrate what we're doing and lean on each other and have a good time and put together something like this has been a great experience. It actually started last year. I believe it was Indeed, Surly, Three Sheeps, and New Belgian and Bells that kind of got the ball rolling last year. We hosted a kickoff at New Barons Brewing, and they did some programming throughout the month. But this year, there's actually 8 women involved, 8 women and 9 breweries, all represented by women. And it's a much more extensive and organized programming this time around.
Got it. Well, you know, it's always, you always improve the next year. You learn, you iterate.
Yeah.
And so as far as, is there one central location you can send people to if they want to see everything that's going on? Or is it kind of piecemeal across Facebook?
It is. So on Milwaukee and Milwaukee Record both posted articles. It has a list of all the events, their times and locations. If you're looking for events that have all the beer there, they'll be noted in there as well. I want to highlight one at the end of the month that I'm particularly excited about. It is a Women's Month Beer Festival. To my knowledge, it's the first of its kind that I've seen in Wisconsin. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but we are invited 16 breweries that are all have women in their employment and all have women pouring and representing them. So you can come in. It'll be a small donation to get in. You can taste beers from all the breweries. We'll have a bourbon tasting table as well, a DJ, and actually a couple tattoo artists. We'll have all the beers on tap as well. And that's being held at Elwood's at the end of the month on the 26th, I believe. Yeah, the 26th from 1 to 4 at Elwood's.
Jane, are we going to get you to get a tattoo?
No, we're not getting matching tattoos.
Come on, let's get the As Goes Wisconsin logo.
Maybe after you hit up the bourbon table, you'll be ready for it.
All right. Well, anything else, Heidi, that you would like our audience to know or to check out? Maybe how they could become a member?
Yeah. So to become a member, you can sign up online or in the tap room. Now is the perfect time. Like I had said, we just reevaluated our membership and upped the perks that you get, but we have yet to up the price.
Okay.
So, that will happen on 414 Day in Milwaukee. We're doing a sort of membership drive. So if you get in now until then, you'll get the $200 price.
All right. I got to cut you off just because we have to go to a break. But Heidi Dalibor, thank you so much for joining us. I will link all of that information on our website. Stick around. This is Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. If you miss any part of today's show, remember that you can always go listen to it whenever you want.
At your leisure.
At your leisure as a podcast. We split it up each hour so you don't have to listen to two. I think without commercials, when we were posting it all as three, like the all 3 hours as one podcast without commercials, I think it was like still over two. It was like 2 hours and 20 minutes. Which is a long podcast.
It is.
It's a long podcast.
And this way it's more easily digestible.
Yeah. So then each hour as a podcast is 44 minutes. So you can go listen to that. And you can listen to it whenever you want. And so if you want to go back, hear something that you missed, you can find that at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. That's where we post whenever we say the show notes, which is where the like all the links we just talked about with
all the articles.
Heidi, where all the different events that she was saying, if you want to go learn more about those. Those will be there. Everything we talked about with Dr. Schaefer and Tanya Atkinson about services, that's where you find it. As far as I go home, write up a blog post it there. It's not always live as soon as we're done.
But it gets done.
But it gets done.
It gets done.
So you can find it there, but you can also just subscribe to it on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, anywhere that you get your podcasts. You can just go find As Goes Wisconsin and subscribe it there. Or you can find it on civicmedia.us and check out all the other stations.
All the other shows.
All the other shows where we're growing. Because we have a lot of talk radio across the state. We also have a lot of country music stations
yes,
now.
Yes, we do.
Which is pretty cool. I have no... You have more familiarity of what it's like to work. The differences between being a host of a music show, which you did for a long time.
I did.
Versus a talk show.
Music show is much easier.
Is it?
Oh, gosh. You have 3.5 minutes where you don't have to do anything.
So what would be the break? Because I do want to get to this other article, but I'm curious. So in like a lineup for an hour, what's the ratio of commercial, talk time, music time?
Well, there's probably 4 commercial breaks per hour. I would say 2.5 minutes each.
Okay.
You come out at the top of the hour, you do a little chit-chat, you play 2 songs.
Okay.
You come back, you do a little chit-chat, you play 2 more songs, you go to break. And that kind of repeats itself. Again, I haven't done music radio now in a while, but that's kind of the way that it was. And again, you have 6.5 minutes, sometimes 7 minutes when you're playing music that you can plan for the next break.
Yeah.
Whereas our mics are pretty much on all the time.
That's true. That's true. And yet we persevere.
We do persevere. It's fun.
Some would say we even thrive. All right. Well, less than a month ago, in Osseo,
yes,
Wisconsin, Blizzo the Snowplow was named after Lizzo, and she gave a shout out after finding out that she was named. In honor of her, they did name one of their snowplows. But this is not unique to Osseo. This is like these naming competitions are happening all over the place.
Oh, gee.
And so, a storm, and not even just always for plows. So a storm drain, who cares? But a storm drain officially named Stormy Draniels.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
That's very punny.
Where is that drain?
So this is, all right, so this is the article from Morning Brew. Municipalities across the U.S. know this, so they're increasingly holding online naming contests to christen fixtures like snowplows, sewer grates, and garbage trucks.
Oh, I love it.
In a bid to increase public awareness of the services available and the workers who perform them. So there was one in Madison, Wisconsin, with a snowplow naming contest, and the results came in late last month, resulting in 5 newly named plows, Saltimus Prime.
Excellent. A university kind of town.
Right?
Right.
Snoby Wan Kenobi.
Oh, I love that.
Seymour Pavement.
Okay.
Like Seymour Butts.
Gotcha.
And Dolly Plowtown. They're all pretty good. I don't think, like, sometimes with naming things, it's like choosing your trivia team name. Some people get really good at it. I feel like my mind just goes blank as something. People have to be really good at puns.
Well, and it, at least for me, sometimes you have to have a little more time coming up with them instantaneously can be a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
So if you can noodle over it for a little while.
So here are some other ones across the U.S. So from New Paltz, New York, forget a plow it.
Very New York.
Very New York.
Very New York.
St. Paul, Minnesota, Plowy McPlowface.
Which, I'm sorry, but that is an obvious ripoff from the boat in England that was named Boaty McBoatface.
That's true.
Boaty McBoatface was the first.
And then one in North Hero, Vermont. Just name Steve.
Just Steve?
Just Steve.
Steve the Plow.
Steve the Plow.
Of course.
Do you name your car?
I do.
What's your car's name?
It is the Gray Goose.
The Gray Goose.
Mm-hmm. But I had an Ezra the Mean Green Machine.
Okay.
So yeah, they get nicknames. Goldie, I had.
Does it just come to you?
Yeah. I don't spend a whole lot of time on that. And I don't know. It's not like I talk to her. Well, maybe I do.
I was saying, do you? You do not? You're like, come on. Just because, especially when, you know, if it's like not, because you've had that car for what, 10 years?
Yes.
Do you ever have to coax it into performing well?
You think I coax?
That's true. You're not a big coax.
You're going to get me there or we're going to have problems.
She's a yeller. She's a threatener.
Not yelling, threatening.
Threatening. All right. When we come back, get your opinions ready, because I feel like people have very strong ones when it comes to this topic. How do you split the bill when you're in a larger group of people? Do you go line item by line item and figure out the math. And then when there's inevitably not enough money, you fight about it? Or do you just say, everyone threw down a card, we're splitting it? We have the official advice from the New York Magazine. When we come back, we will talk about it, but we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. This is Ask Goes Wisconsin.
Don't drive, don't drive, don't drive so close to these. Please don't drive so close.
By six, and everyone owes $28.
Okay. Everyone?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
It's Monica's big night. She shouldn't pay.
Oh, thank you.
So five of us is $33.50 apiece.
No, no way. Sorry, not gonna happen.
Whoa, prom night flashback.
I'm sorry, Monica. I'm really happy you got promoted, but cold cucumber mush for 30-something bucks? No. Rachel just had that little salad, and Joey with his, like, teeny pizza. It's just...
Okay, Phoebe. How about we'll each just pay for what we had, okay? It's no big deal.
Not for you. Yeah.
We three feel like that sometimes you guys don't get that we don't have as much money as you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mettner. And we are going to have a conversation about how you divvy up the bill at a group dinner and what is the appropriate way to do it.
What's the etiquette?
Because we've been doing the ongoing series of taking different pieces of advice or the do's and don'ts that New York Magazine came out with last month as far as etiquette in 2023. And we've gotten to, for group dinners with friends, always split the bill evenly.
Don't go entree by entree and starter by starter. Just split it evenly and we're good to go.
Yep. That is where they come down on this. I have to say that is also where I come down on this. And that I think it all evens out in the end, especially if you are with people that you go out with often. And that you hope that it's people who, things that you're sharing. Sometimes someone's get the steak and maybe you just got a sit, like you got a salad. But as far as, unless you are on a budget and you've made that clear from the beginning, or you spoke up about what restaurant you're going to and things like that, and you're honest. Because, like, I think that does happen. I think it can be hard in friend groups where some people make a lot more money than the other people.
Yep.
And so some of that, I think, needs to happen in the conversation about where you're going. And I would say, in general, I am in favor of let's just split it evenly. I think the follow-up, which I also agree with, is... if someone's drinking, or if there's people who are drinking and there's some people who are not, then those people should pay the tip.
So if I'm the one abstaining, I'll pay for my meal, but I don't have to pay for the tip.
Yes.
Okay.
What say you, Jane?
For the most part, I would agree. I think part of it, though, is what time of life you're in.
Mm.
Because I think when you're in your 20s, a lot of people are kind of in the same boat financially, but if there's one outlier who's making considerably more money than everybody else, I think that person should step up a little bit more to help out their friends.
Well,
when you get to be my age, I think it's less of an issue. I think it's more of an issue when people are up and coming and just getting into the workforce. But
should they, in that situation you just said, should they help out if they order something more expensive, or just in general?
Well, then that gets complicated. If the one person who doesn't want to pay their fair share is the one who orders steak and lobster, then we're going to have problems.
Yeah.
You know, but for the most part, yes, I think just split it. There's nothing worse than looking at a table full of well-dressed people who are arguing over who's going to pay for the asparagus because I don't like asparagus. You know?
We have one person, Changeress, saying disagrees. He says you pay for what you ordered.
Oh.
And if you have strong feelings on this, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
Do you just split the bill when you're out to dinner? Or do you itemize, basically?
Because then you get into the ticky-tackiness. Because think about it. So there's the actual line items. Because my experience has been, especially when the earlier in life, the 20-something, we're all broke. Especially, you know, when I was first out of college, I was living in San Francisco.
With 9 roommates?
Not with 9 roommates, but just definitely going into credit card debt. As far as not making enough money to be able to actually afford to live in San Francisco. And I would, you know, the things I did to cut quarters as far as walking everywhere, taking the bus everywhere. But I would do this thing where on the walk home, I would keep walking until the bus caught up with me. So sometimes I'd just make it all the way home. And then, then what ultimately is still a social person and we would go out. And sometimes it felt like in the times where it was, well, I ordered this, I ordered that. Yeah, I got this drink, I got that drink. You still have to split the tip. You still have to split the tax. And so then if the tax is a certain amount because people ordered more expensive stuff, do you just split the tax then? Because I feel like sometimes you come up short when everyone just looks at the line item of what they ordered and Right. That's how much money they give. They forget that there's at least 2 more charges on there as far as that needs to get covered. And sometimes if you're the person who's taken, like, stepped up to take care of making sure everyone has enough money. Granted, this was also before Venmo and before it became a lot easier to have different ways. Like if you didn't have cash,
sure,
of how to split things and the place didn't take 10 different credit cards or whatever. But, you know, the amount of time the person who steps up and takes the responsibility to actually try to wrangle all the money and then all of a sudden you're like $50 short, then that conversation happens. Or like, well, I paid my part. And granted, this might be a younger person thing, because like you said, it's the people just don't have enough money yet.
Yeah.
And they're doing things that are maybe out of their price range. But ultimately, I just think, because ultimately, you're also paying for the experience of going out with friends, right?
Yes.
And I think that's where I come in to the argument that by just splitting it, it's also the price of the entertainment of being together. That's where I stand.
So I have to pay to be your friend?
No! Not at all. But I'm just saying, if that's the opportunity, like, we've all chosen to go out together. And part of it is saying that that is the entertainment for the night, right? And so you could have ordered something more expensive, but the thing that you wanted was the thing that you wanted. And so I don't know.
Well, I think you make a good point, though, about if you know it's a restaurant that's out of your price range, then you should address that before you guys go out. And pick a different place, right? That seems fair to me. Texter from the 541 checking in. I must go out with the wrong people. My group outings are always pay your own. If I order an appetizer and share it, I pay for it. I also make the server aware at the onset who I am paying for. That's really big. If you do want to do separate checks, then you need to tell the server before you order.
Yeah.
Because that's a nightmare for them. It really is.
Totally. We actually have something similar from Carol Booth. When we're all retired, we are on fixed incomes and we always split it fairly. That's why there are calculators on cell phones.
Thank God for calculators on cell phones.
And then she followed up, just let the waiter know up front that we want separate checks.
Yeah, that's a courtesy for your server.
So maybe there's the conversation of you just need to have the conversation before the end of dinner. Like, this shouldn't be the check has come and now we're figuring this out.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
As far as what restaurant we're going to, how we're going to do this at the end. Don't you just wish that this is my long-term goal of just and Mike's actually sometimes really good at this, just being the guy who then can just sometimes just pick up the whole bill.
Which is really fun.
And be able to, like, sneak away, give your credit card to the waiter, and then they just bring the bill once it's already paid for,
yep.
And then the other couple or friends like, oh, no, you didn't have to do that.
You shouldn't have.
So that is a very privileged place to be. But it is like, in the opportunity, once you do start having enough money to be able to do something like that, that's a very fun thing to be able to do.
But then do the other people feel like, well, next time we go out with these guys, now I got to pick up the bill?
I think it depends on the couple. Like, in times that I've seen him do that, or in times I've done that, you know, I think it's reciprocity sometimes. You know, for Mike, when he ran for mayor, there was a lot of people who donated to his campaign. And I think one way that he wanted to say thank you to the people who supported him during that was treat them to dinner, acknowledge, you know, their support and their help. And so, like, I think in times when you feel like it is a thank you, I think there's no reciprocity needed.
That's nice.
And then sometimes I think, I don't know, if you just want to do it. And sometimes I think a couple could, or the other people would be like, oh, the next one's on me or whatever. And I think that's what I mean, where it's like things even out. We're like buying your friend a drink and they buy your next one. And like, if it continues to feel really unfair and that one person is constant, like you feel like you are constantly picking up the financial slack right. for another friend or another couple, then that becomes a conversation. But I think in general, I don't know. For me, it just feels like it always evens out. But maybe that's also why I'm not necessarily great with money.
It depends a lot upon the relationship, how close you are, how well you know each other. But for the most part, I would agree with you that you should just split it, you know, three couples, split it three ways, whatever. And on the rare occasion, or if, you know, you get the opportunity to pick it all up and you want to do that, that's great. It's very generous.
Very generous. So are we on the same page? Did we settle this?
I think we did.
So we know when we go out, we're just going to split it?
Yeah.
That's good.
What are you going to have?
Well, if we go back to Victor's, it's too much food. I don't even think we've told this story.
We could share a fish dinner.
I don't know if you're allowed to share.
Three people could share that fish dinner.
The amount of food that you get at Victor's on Van Buren in Milwaukee for a Friday fish fry, it's very good.
It's great.
It's a lot of food.
Those are the biggest pieces of fish I have ever seen, not in water.
But then they also, it's like, you get like an entire plate. If you order the cheesy hash browns, it's like the size of a plate. They bring you like an entire loaf of like sugar bread before you even start.
Right.
It's, they feed you well.
They do feed you well.
But I think we split the bill last night. Didn't we throw down two cards? It was just,
I think so.
Yeah. And it was easy.
Yeah. It wasn't a thing.
It wasn't a thing. But all right. So we still got a couple more minutes. So if that one is settled. I think we agree. I like this one. I think we're both going to agree on this too. But after high school, you're no longer allowed to be a birthday diva.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I completely agree. You can't use the day to make unreasonable demands of people you're growing up, so grow up.
Yes.
Do you have some birthday divas in your life? Like who are like, oh, it's my birthday month. It's like, no.
No, you don't get a month.
You don't get a month.
No, no,
you don't
no,
get a
no,
week.
No.
You get a day. And even then.
That's pushing it.
Come on. Like, we're not going to bring you balloons at your 35th birthday.
Well, and I'm talking about people in their 40s. I have a very good friend whose sister is a nurse, and well into her 40s, she expected to have the day off on her birthday.
Really?
It's like you're 47. Get over it. That's ridiculous.
Well, was she taking, was it like a Friday where she was then taking the weekend to do something?
No, or she needed the day of her birth off.
Hate that, if I'm being honest. I think it's more of when you're putting demands on all your friends and your family need to like do special things for you. But if you have PTO, so it's like if you just choose to have your PTO and take the day off for your birthday to go treat yourself, they're like, I don't hate that. Just don't make it everyone else's problem. Right? Just don't make me take a day off to go celebrate you.
You're so much nicer than I am.
You're not that special. Nobody cares. All right. right. Well, we have one more break, and then when we come back, we will wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us. As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. Did you see the breaking news from this morning that Twitter and the sports world is all a flutter?
No.
Aaron Rodgers had a meeting with the Jets.
Oh. Oh, I mean,
That's kind of how I feel about it, where it was like, how much can you, you know, some people just live and breathe the sports updates.
Yes.
And it's a lot to stay on top of. And he is also exhausting.
Should he stay or should he go? 844-967-2789. Aaron Rodgers, do you care?
But I feel like, and that's the thing, that is the conversation. That's why I didn't choose to talk about it, right? Because it feels like one of those things that every show in Wisconsin, sports oriented or not, every talk show is going to have that conversation, exact verbatim. And I think in one of my How Wisconsin Went 60 second updates on social media, I said some joke about him coming out of the darkness and having a decision, and it seems like the overwhelming fan response is everyone's ready for him to go.
I think people are tired of him. I think they're tired of the drama. I think they're tired of the arrogance. I think they're tired of the... Now he's like the groundhog. He's like the groundhog player of football players coming out from the dark. What's he going to do next?
But it's also...
Naked skydiving? I mean...
But I think it's also... This is what? Year three of just... I don't know if it's as bad as Boy Who Cried Wolf, but just feeling like the, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? And I think this is the first year where it feels overwhelmingly like pundits, sports folks, fans are kind of like, yeah, it's time.
Well, and he's not the player that he was.
And I think that's kind of the unknown was like, is it... Did he just have one bad season after two MVP winning seasons because of his broken thumb? Didn't have Devontae, whatever things you want to say as far as why it was a bad season. But, and is it short-sighted thinking? Because he, I mean, granted, ego is definitely involved, but he definitely thinks that he still has one more MVP season in him.
Oh, for sure.
And it just is like, is, because I remember this point being made a lot last year around this time of, are Packer fans really ready to not have a, you know, Hall of Fame football, a Hall of Fame quarterback?
It's going to be
the first time in 30 years.
Yeah, it's going to be a new reality for a whole bunch of people.
And like, even as confident as the coaching staff has been and the administration feels like they are with Jordan Love, and the little bit we got to see him play last year, he looked pretty good, but you know, how much
hard to
really
gauge.
Hard to gauge that. And so it's interesting to think if he does go, which sounds like the conversation of him coming out from the darkness after he had his darkness retreat, which we're not making fun of because we're supportive of people's mental health, the choices they make for their mental health, even if he didn't have to get... He didn't have to talk about it and get attention for it, but whatever. We're not making fun of it. Right, Jane?
I'm being really quiet. I believe in people treating their mental health. Absolutely.
But it seems like if he's taking meetings, that he's not retiring, potentially.
Does he have to get permission? I mean, he is under contract, isn't he?
Yeah, it has to be a trade.
But I mean,
and the Jets have to be able to afford him.
Granted, but if he is under contractual obligation to the Green Bay Packers, I would think he couldn't just go meet with somebody else in secret.
Oh no, I don't think it was in secret. I mean, that was kind of the Twitter talks I was hearing this morning of who's leaking the information that this meeting happened, and you know, of course, Roger's team is saying it's not us. So who knows? But
it's Olivia Munn.
So I don't know. It's interesting. Like, do we want to have someone to come on and explain it to us? Is that worth talking about in the off season, or should we just wait till it's done?
The drama could go on for quite some time.
Supposedly, it's supposed to be. Gutekunst said that he wants it to be like by the free agency deadline, which is March 15th. That's next week.
I don't see that happening.
You don't think we're gonna have a decision by next week?
No, I think the drama will play out. It's going to take longer than that. There's an ego to be fluffed here, Kristen. You can't just fluff it properly in just a couple of days.
I don't know.
Don't you think he wants people to fight over him?
Everyone's just so sick of fighting over him, though. But I don't know. We'll see. You and I can talk about how much airtime we want to give this versus finding something more original to talk about in the next couple of weeks.
But it's big news in Wisconsin.
It is big news.
And as you said, if he does leave, and Jordan Love, and I would wish him all the best, but people forget how terrible Brett Favre was.
When he first showed up?
The first couple of seasons. He did some amazing things and got off some pretty amazing shots. At the same time, he was interception king. You didn't know where that thing was going to go half the time. You really didn't.
So you're saying his accuracy wasn't spot on yet?
Not at that point. And there are growing pains. And if Jordan Love takes the field, it's maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll come out and just be spectacular and blow everyone away. But I think the odds of that are unlikely. And so it might be a little painful.
Might be painful.
A little bit.
Well, at least we have the Bucks.
We do.
Who knows how the Brewers will be? They're coming up soon. We'll get to talk about that soon.
Yes.
But for now, we're not going to talk about anything because we got to close the show out. So you should stick around for Dueling Tangents. Luke has at 2:30, Dan Schaefer will be joining Luke to recombobulate. And if you're listening to WXCO, you can tune into the Chad Holmes Show. But for us, that'll about do it. Come back tomorrow when Greg Bach will be here and we'll have a litany of conversation and topics to go over. But thank you for texting, thank you for calling, thank you for listening to today's show. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.